Hello, and welcome to Things Your Pastor Should Be Preaching. I always want to give glory to God, so before we get started, it bears repeating that the King James Version of the Bible is the truth of God's Word. Revelation 22:18-19 says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecy, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Every other book masquerading as God's word has been changed to suit various demographics who call good evil and evil good, and those books are thereby false. God is unchanging. God's word is unchanging. God's word is his voice. Therefore, adding to or taking from God's word makes it no longer his word, but man's word. Also, Jesus Christ is God. There is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is part of the Godhead, the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The only person who was born, given as a son, justified in the spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory, and called the Prince of Peace is the Lord Jesus Christ. I entitled this episode, "These Things Need to Be Said," because I'm going to be speaking on a few different topics. The first topic I'd like to start with is that faith in God is a love thing. Love is real. It's not some made-for-television fairy tale. Love is patient and kind, not at all abusive or ill-tempered. We are wired to love, and the proof of that are in the things that we put up with in the name of love. How many times have you heard of someone who has endured emotional or physical abuse in the name of love? How many times have you heard of someone who abandoned their children because their significant other didn't want kids? How many times have you heard of someone being estranged from their family because they don't get along with their significant other's family? A close cousin of love is affection, and people will do just about anything for that too. I know many people who were sexually abused as children, and as a result, are not attracted to the opposite sex. They still desire love and affection, so they resort to same-sex intimacy. The point is that we were created to be in a loving relationship with God, but somewhere along the way, the devil deceived us. We came to have a distorted view towards love. Some have been so broken that they deny love even exists. Anyone who is in a physically and/or emotionally abusive relationship needs to get out of it. We are loved by God, and the way that people treat us is not a representation of that. Some may ask that if God loves us so much, then why does he allow evil? I have four words for you: free will and sin. God created Adam sinless and gave him free will. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." And so God created Eve and brought her to Adam. Later in Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, we see Adam make a deadly decision. The serpent is tempting Eve to eat the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And in verse 6, we read, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat." Adam was with Eve when she was deceived by the serpent. We just read that she took up the fruit thereof and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. It doesn't say, "And later Eve found Adam and gave him the fruit." It says that she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Adam knew that God commanded that they should not eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, and he told Eve what the Lord had said. But because Adam did not want to be alone, because he wanted to please his wife, he made a decision and yielded to her will instead of yielding to God's will. And here we are. By one man, sin entered into the world. And so we have evil because of free will and sin. We can desire to have a loving relationship with our Creator. We can choose to accept His love for us instead of trying to find it in fornication and adultery. God's love is heart healing, addiction breaking, spiritually liberating, miracle working, and forever. Once again, God's love is heart healing, addiction breaking, spiritually liberating, miracle working, and forever. All we have to do is to sincerely cry out to Him, surrendering ourselves to Him, and He will receive us with open arms. I'm not talking about carnal, fleshly lust of the flesh. I'm talking about the love of God that casts out all darkness when it enters into our hearts. I'm talking about heartfelt adoration, agape love, a love that only God can give. On another note, I need to point out the fact that Jesus teaches that godliness is not gain. Yes, you heard that right. Godliness is not gain. That's what the Lord teaches. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, the Lord asks, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" In the verses before that, in Matthew chapter 16, 24 through 25, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." The Lord commands us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him, suffering persecution for His name's sake. The Lord says that the unbelieving think that godliness is gain. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 5 through 10, we are warned about perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that godliness is gain. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That was a lot to digest. So let me break it down. There are perverse men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth who think that godliness is gain. The Lord says to be separate from people like that. We came unto the world with nothing, and when we die, we won't take anything with us. God says to be content with food and clothes, because the love of money is the root of all evil, and they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. How can godliness be the accumulation of money and material things when there's all these deceptive and nefarious and immoral ways to financial gain? Listen to what David wrote in Psalm 49, 6 through 7, verses 9 through 10. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person, and leave their wealth to others. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? The Lord says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 23 to 24, Then Jesus said unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, this is not hyperbole. So just think of verily like that. This is not hyperbole. Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 through 10 says, But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The Lord spoke a parable in Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. The Lord is speaking here, and he says, And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all of my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Go on vacation and retire, in other words. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I firmly believe that God has designed it so that the rich don't have any peace of mind. They lie, steal, borrow, beg, manipulate, compromise their character, and deceive to get money. Then once they have the money, they worry about how to keep it. Then there's the physical strain on the body, mind, and social life. All the rich have time for is work. They eat, sleep, and drink work. They don't have time for God, themselves, or their families because they're too busy working. They don't even have time to enjoy the material things they've worked so hard to acquire. It's unhealthy, both physically and spiritually. And I'm pretty sure that the Lord has not blessed anyone to not have any time for him, themselves, or their family, or to compromise their integrity, deceive, extort, and steal to make money. Work came after Adam and Eve sinned. It is written in Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Work is not a blessing. The Lord has spoken. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Speaking of things that are freely given, salvation is God's free gift that we can't do anything for. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? It does not say, for by going to church are ye saved through the acquisition of material things. It's by God's unmerited favor that we don't deserve, through the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, that we are saved. That is the definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Okay? So, God is holy and righteous. Isaiah 64, 6. But we are all of us, as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags before him. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, or sin, like the wind, have taken us away. Romans 3:20 through verse 24. Therefore, by the deeds of the law thou shalt. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 through 24. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is, there's that word again, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, unmerited favor, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The Lord says in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Again, Titus 3:5 says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Will you receive the love of God and his free gift of salvation? Are you sure that you believe God loves you so much that he sacrificed his son to save you from an eternity separated from him? Are you sure that you accept Jesus as your only means of salvation? Are you sure that you've repented of your sins? Are you sure that you've been born again with a new life in Christ? If you're not sure, then you need to address that while you still have today. Tomorrow is not promised. As sure as we live, we must die. Also, the Lord says that we're living in the last days and that He will come as a thief in the night. So let's get right with Jehovah God while we still have the chance. Lord, have thine own way in the hearts of those listening. May your word prosper and not return unto you void, according to thy word. In your name, Lord Jesus, and for your glory. Amen.